Get started. Hello, everybody. We're going to get started. Today is October 10th. It is 6:17 p.m. And we'll go ahead and do you want to do a roll call of sorts to start out?
Yes.
Okay. We'll go ahead and start around the table and then we'll move over to, I was going to say Teams. That's what I use, the Zoom. Rebecca Kemp, chair.
Eulogio Alejandre, principal.
Rosie Ojeda,
board member.
Jesse Hyatt, teacher.
Esai Lara, board member.
Angela Uria, board member.
Marty Banks, board member.
And Cody Case, board member.
Okay, those online. Who do we got online? I know we have Juan.
Juan Freire.
Brian Cates with Red Apple.
And Alicia?
Board member.
Okay. Well, welcome, everybody. Why don't we go ahead and turn over the time to Brian Cates for our financial report. You guys that are here and online, you should have received a copy of... Oh, maybe we don't have the financial report. Nope, we don't.
It's on the Google Drive. I upload that each time. So I'm going to share my screen too. So before I do that though, just want to give a quick update on the audit. It's going smoothly. We're busy kind of getting through the bulk of the financial part. Last month we submitted the reports to the state, the AFR and APR to the state on time. And they were certified by Eulogio, so thanks to him for being available to do that. We are continue with the audit on the compliance-related testing. Some board members have already received some requests, as well as the administration. Appreciate all of you that have responded in a timely manner to those requests. We want to get through those as quickly as possible to make sure that we get everything in so that we can get those reports and the statements in time to report to the bondholders at the end of this month. as far as other updates, it's application season. Eulogio is very aware of that. We continue to work closely with him to make sure that everything is in on time. That will keep going through for the next couple of months. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. We'll take a look at a couple of those reports that were mentioned. The first is going to be our PTIF statement. In the last meeting, I don't know if it was mentioned. So during the summer, we typically have a high level of expenses, particularly in the 100s, as we pay out certain incentive benefits as well as compensation items. I noticed we were running a little bit low in our operating account, so we moved some cash from our operating account or from our PTIF to the operating account and then moved that cash back a little bit later. So you'll see those transactions there. Reinvestment for the month of August was just under 8,200. And then September, you can see there just over 8,700. So we've already increased that forecast for that. The forecast for that line item, namely the investment interest on investments in our local revenue, we've already increased that forecast by just over 50,000 for the current year. So it continues to perform well and obviously contributes to our bottom line for the forecast for this year. And we'll continue to monitor our cash position and add cash to that as we can. Our budget summary right now, just over, sorry?
Marty, what's that rate of return?
It varies, but it's right around 3%. I can send you the details on that if you like.
No, that's okay. I'm just looking for a range. Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Our financial summary as of the end of September, we're looking at just over 4% forecast on our operating margin. So we're 25% through the fiscal year, quarter of the way through already as of the end of September. Most of our line items, if not all, categorically on our revenues and expenses, all look to be in line. We went through the detail of these in our finance meeting earlier today. And Alokia and I will, as we usually do, we'll continue to get even more into the weeds to make sure everything's categorized correctly. But everything looks to be in line with what we expect to see at this point of the year. Cash position is good. You can see our expenditures, as I mentioned, increased in the month of June. And then over the summer, we got all of our federal and state reimbursement requests back. So there's that influx of cash that we typically see at that time of year. And then on the enrollment trend, very typical what we've seen over the years with Esperanza. We budget conservatively at our cap of 525, and we consistently, our October 1 count is consistently a little bit above that. This year it's about 539. So we should see a little bit of a bump in our state revenue this year once the allotment trues up in November. So overall, things are looking good. Obviously, we'll continue to monitor each line item individually as well as programmatically to make sure that we have allowable expenses for each program and sufficient expenses to cover the revenue coming through both on the state and federal level. Okay, any questions?
Well, I do have a question. So we've been talking about, so you might know that seventh grade is now approved, and we're looking at extending the school to seventh grade, hopefully next year. That means that we want to, probably look at, because I already told you that we're looking at building something across the street in that lot that we have. What are your thoughts on, based on the financial report, what are your thoughts on building something? And do you have any insights?
Insights to building a new building?
Yes, like in front of the, or where we are in that lot, where they're going to do the bakery. We're looking at building something there for seventh grade and hopefully eighth grade in the future.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of this is news to me. I had not heard that. But yeah, obviously it's a very, very significant financial undertaking. Obviously conversations would, you know, need to take place with a lot of different parties outside of Red Apple on the financing part. But, you know, in coordination with them, you know, if the financing is there and fits, absolutely, it sounds great. But at this point, you know, hard to say, you know, without knowing more details of what the financing plans are for that addition.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, Alokia can share more, but we were, based on our text conversations that we were having, some of the board members and him, we're looking at doing building an auditorium and about four classrooms or so, right?
Probably six classrooms so that we can move sixth grade to middle school. It would be sixth, seventh, and in the future, eighth.
So it would be sixth over there. Yeah, then six classrooms and and an office for to kind of like a front desk.
Yes, an office space. Yep.
And in the back of my mind, I've been thinking that might be the perfect place to house our preschool. If there was one word for that.
That's all we have for now, Brian.
Okay. Yeah. Like I said, a lot of that is news to me, but
Yeah, I mean, it sounds great. I mean, if there's ever a school that can and should expand, it's Esperanza. I'm sure you all have gone through all the proper steps of you know, making sure that growth is sustainable and, you know, fits within our budget. Obviously, we'll take a closer look as things progress. So yeah, that all sounds great though.
Thank you. We'll need to hire someone to get the building plan in motion. Do you have any contacts that you could provide us with?
Yeah, I mean, the contacts that most schools have worked with in the past, and you all have worked in the past, and when you talk about the replication in Ogden, whenever that's going to happen, is, you know, Jeff at my office, and, you know, and Monty and Clint at Roundtable.
Mm-hmm. Jeffy and Monty. Okay. Great. And for that, would we need to open a bid or something like that? And then, or how would that work?
Yeah, just get in contact with Jeff and he can give you all those details.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now for the board, how do we want to plan this process for the next steps?
I think we need to form a group or, you know, a subcommittee of mm-hmm. sorts. I think we need to, you know, get volunteers for that and set up a subcommittee just to start working that process.
Because there's two parts. There's the part that there's the government part, and then there's that brain just went dead. There's the governance part, and then there's the operations part, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think the committee of board members and working with other folks from the school would determine, like, I think their job and their role would be how would the charter apply to those grades, and how can we look ahead, like, and then of course the school with operations would work at how they're going to work it. And we would pass over our plan and they would enact it just like they have at the school.
Yeah. Okay, so let's form the committee because we need to get this up and running. It's been about a month since it got approved and we haven't done much yet.
There are a couple of schools. Oh, sorry.
We actually have. I did contact Jeff. In fact, he's joining us a little bit later today at this meeting.
Nice.
And he is prepared to help us get the RFP ready and start the ball rolling. So he'll be joining us here in a minute.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, that's what I meant. The RF,
RFP.
How did you say that?
The RFP will be sent to contractors.
You'll have to have an RFP, and then you have to have so much time, certain time that you have to have it out. And he has contacts that he'll send it to.
That assumes, was that site selection or just construction on a pre-designated site?
It'll be from the beginning. The site selection, they'll come in and inspect our property to find out where the best place is, because we owned a lot of land here in the parking lot and just west of the building, the Shopko building. And so they'll tell us where the best place will be.
And it is this next school year, not the following, right?
Yes. And just so everybody knows, we do have two rooms that we can use to house seventh grade, because it is only 50 kids to begin with. So we have this room we're sitting in, which is the preschool room. We build it as a preschool, but it is definitely a big enough for a classroom of 24, 25 kids. And the other good thing is, too, that, I mean, we can have 20 kids in each of the classes in the seventh grade, and we can add kids to the other grades. So it's 50 new kids in one grade level.
Right.
And so we can do that. And then the other is a choir.
We can do that without expansion, without a new building.
We can house seventh grade here, not comfortably, but we can house it here for a year or two, because the buildings, I'm being told that they take more than a year to build, not because of the work, but because of the materials that are not easily available. And so we may not be able to build what we want initially, The other option is, and we can talk to Jeff when he joins us, which he is just joining us. We can talk to Jeff about it, but the other option is to bring a trailer temporarily.
That's what I was
thinking. We can rent. You don't have to purchase the trailer. You can rent a trailer, place it on our property for a year or two until we get the eighth grade and we can build what we want, because then we will have more numbers. So there's a lot of things that we can do at this point.
So the big thing will be getting a group or a committee. I know yes. We had a very small one
mm-hmm.
at beginning way back.
Yeah. What is RFP mean?
RFP, request for proposals. Mm-hmm.
Bid. There are some other middle schools in the area that have models that would match things that we would be thinking about. It would be nice to reach out and see what their model looks like and how our model would.
Model RFP or model something else?
No, just as far as like, curricular models. Because seventh grade adds on a whole, and eventually when you have eighth grade, adds on a whole new ball of wax. And so I'd like to see some of those things that they do that are already successful to keep up with our model and keep the academics and yet have some electives for kids too.
Yeah. We can certainly take a look at what other people are doing, but I think we have people on the board too that I think Juan has a lot of ideas on how to work the model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, good. All right. Well, thank you, Brian. Does anybody have any other questions for Brian before we allow him to leave if he wants to? Okay, then let's go ahead and move on to our action items.
I am wondering. Well, I just think that I wonder if Brian wants to speak to number five, review and approve changes to the purchasing policy limit. Brian, do you want to speak about?
Yeah. So as it pertains to procurement testing with the audit, the auditors sent emails so I'll speak to Esperanza's case. Obviously the threshold is 1,000, and they suggested that threshold be moved to 5,000 because that's what the state's threshold is, and they have to test on the more stringent or strict threshold. So in this case, it would be the lower amount. It means that any items above that threshold, whether it be a thousand or 5,000, would then need to be tested for procurement law. So they suggested that we bump it up retroactively, which they allowed to happen with an email, but it also needs to be updated in the policy by board vote. So that is that's what that pertains to. Now, there's still a question.
For what decision making?
Sorry, what was that?
The threshold is for what decisions?
For items that require multiple bids.
Okay, thanks.
Yep. So, but my question for the auditors, and this is something that's still being discussed. I said, does this just pertain to the testing the auditors do relative to purchases made? Because the state, as I understand it, the state threshold or the state procurement law is any purchases over $1,000 need to have multiple bids, meaning two or three. And I said, is this just pertain to the testing or has the state threshold changed? And so we're actually reaching out directly to the state to confirm that. And we're still waiting to hear from them on that. So in any case, the auditors confirmed that, you know, if this change is made, it would make it so that their testing is only for items purchased $5,000 or more in the previous year. So that's what that is.
Have we had any, in our purchasing history, have we had any issues, problems, concerns?
No. Alohio does a great job at getting multiple bids on the items that require it.
And the only problem that we've had is we spend a lot of time getting bids for items that are $1,100. Mm-hmm. And so when I talked to Brian, I said, I would like it to move up to five because Ari in our office spends a lot of times getting bids, and some of the custodial staff, when they get, so if it's $1,000, even if you buy toilet paper, if it's over $1,000, you have to get two other bids.
Could we set a threshold as a board of what needs bids?
Yes, the 5,000, that's what he's talking about, yeah. Raise it to 5,000.
I agree
and
with
so,
that.
And that, yeah, that's going to take care of that. But I'm still, like I said, I'm still in conversations with the state to confirm that that's the case. I want to make sure that mm-hmm. it is indeed 5,000 and not still 1,000. But I'll let everybody know. I'll let you know, Elohio, when I hear back on that.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're not going to decide tonight because we're going to wait for his information, but that sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah. I deal with contracts and procurement all the time. And we typically do, if it's services, it's 20 in the federal government. Anyway, it's 2,500 and that's too low. I think anything above 3,000 or up to 5,000 is perfect.
Yeah. Agreed.
Or services. Yeah.
Inflation,
yeah, everything is 1,000.
Yeah, that was been a hot topic.
What is our data on that, Brian? Because we did have to move on something, but then it also had to be approved by the board.
The word from the auditors was that you could bump it up to 5,000 by board vote. But
even now, Brian, you can bump it up?
To apply retroactively.
I think here for
that retroactive effect, at least in terms of the audit.
The audit.
Yeah.
So you're saying, Brian, that they can approve now retroactive? Am I in silent?
I think he.
Did you hear that?
No, we did not.
Now we can hear you. Go ahead, try again.
Oh, sorry. I said the auditors said that, you know, you're good to go ahead and, you know, make the motion. But given the fact that I'm still waiting on confirmation from the state, it's probably fine to table it until next month.
Okay.
All right. So we'll put that as an action item for next month.
Does that get us into any trouble with our deadline to respond to the auditor?
No, we've already gotten an email response. Their question pertained more to the prior year, and they're fine with that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody have any more questions? Did you, since we have Jeff here, did we want to give him the opportunity to talk since we don't keep him?
Yes, we can talk to Jeff. I thought there was one where we were going to form a committee. Esperanza discussion.
Oh, yeah.
But we can talk to Jeff now since he's there. He doesn't have to wait long.
Yeah.
Jeff, are you there?
Hey, guys. Yes, I am. I'm sorry about the confusion on joining tonight.
No, not a problem.
Not at all. We're grateful.
Not a problem. So we just, the board members just want to know, where are we? Where do we start? How is the beginning? And what can you help us with?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not sure what things have and have not been done to date. So it sounds like you're thinking of expanding the current campus building to allow for kind of a full day kindergarten and possibly even expanding some grades. Is that correct?
Right now, only seventh grade has been approved. 50 kids,
okay.
One grade.
Perfect. So I think, you know, the beginning stages, there's a few things. It's, I think we want to look at the feasibility, make sure that we can afford some extra debt to pay for a new facility. So that's pretty routine. That's pretty typical. I would recommend having us plus a financial advisor help with that part of the process, because a financial advisor is going to know interest rates with the market. So I think it would be good to kind of I don't even know that you need to necessarily engage someone yet as much as just reach out. I know both of the preferred financial advisors, Roundtable and Lewis Young Robertson, would more than likely run some preliminary numbers for you. And then what we can do is kind of take that and see if it will allow us to build what we need to build. So, you know, the last thing we want to do, obviously, is just go build something because it's all we can afford, but it doesn't fulfill the need of the school. But assuming that the school can take on the additional debt, from there, we would want to do an RFP for an architect. And personally, I kind of like hiring the contractor at the same time. Mm-hmm. You can kind of do that based off of their, you know, most contractors that work with charter schools have kind of a per square foot amount that they know for the most part they're going to be able to stick to. So we could run an RFP and hire both. I prefer to hire both for the fact that it's nice to have a contractor help with the planning of the school. It seems like every time we've done that, we've been able to keep costs down significantly more than when we just have an architect design the whole thing and then have a contractor come in after. It seems to just be a more expensive process that way.
Is the design and construction of these kind of schools, have they gotten into the design build mode yet, where one vendor provides both services?
No, you'd hire separately. So there's two or three architects that I would feel comfortable working with, and there's probably about the same amount of contractors, to be honest, that just really do a lot of charter schools and kind of know the routine, but there's none that do both sides of it. And frankly, I think it's good to have them separate just for the fact that I do think they help keep each other a little bit more honest on pricing. Not that anyone's trying to gouge you with pricing as much as I think you get two independent minds working together to create the most economically efficient way to accomplish something, if that makes sense. Whereas I think if it was all under one roof, you know, I do think there could be some efficiencies created, but I actually like a couple of different minds thinking through that process personally. But I'm not aware of anyone that we could have perform both of those services. You could hire an architect and then they may team up with a contractor to provide some cost analysis as they go through the process. But it really is just a cost analysis of what the architect is designing, not any type of back and forth as far as, well, I see what you're trying to accomplish here, architect, but you know, if we do it this way, we could save some money and I think come pretty close to what you're thinking and things like that. So does that help answer your question?
Yeah. Are you familiar with a group? I don't know what the formal name is, but there's a couple of brands. By
the
name of Brand.
Yeah, Scott Brand. Yeah, so they are a developer. And so they've built a lot of charter schools as the developer. They're always the money, but they always hire the services out as well. And I don't think that it would be wise for us to go the route of a developer, because the reason you would use a developer is you're a brand new school, you have no history. It's a little bit higher risk. Your ability to bond can sometimes be a little bit more difficult. So a lot of times in the early stages, we even did it at Esperanza. We had a different developer than the Brands, but they built the school for us. We leased it for about 2 or 3 years and then bought it from them. Where we have such a good track record and are a strong school, I don't really see any issue with us just getting a bond from the get-go, which would save the school, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in expenses that you would typically pay a developer. Okay. So, I think that's probably an unnecessary step for where we're at, but I am familiar with the Brands though. We've done projects in the past. If you do go the developer route, there are less expensive developers than the Brands. So I still would probably, you know, recommend a couple of others, but they do a good job and know the industry very, very well. So
thanks.
Yeah, you bet.
Who were the architects that designed our building?
Do you know, Jeff, the original architects that designed the building?
Yeah, so I do. It was Nexus that did it, but the two architects that primarily worked on it, Jeff Davis and Ricky Parkinson, neither of them are still with Nexus. I do still talk to Ricky quite a bit. Elohio, you might remember Ricky. He's a little bit eccentric, great guy, sings a lot.
So, yes.
He is with a firm named Babcock now. And I usually do have Ricky bid. Babcock's been a little bit expensive, so I haven't yet used them since Ricky's joined their firm. But I do think they'd be a good firm to look at. Another firm that I use quite often is they're named Silver Peak Engineering, based out of Layton. They seem to always give a pretty good price. Very easy people to deal with. They don't have an ego in any way. They very much just try to, you know, accomplish what the school wants to. And then there's another architect, JZW, that I have not personally worked with, but I've been introduced to. They actually might end up designing we're looking at building a new office for Red Apple here in the next few years, and they might end up designing that for us. And have been spoken very highly of as well. So those are a few I would throw around, but I can see where you're probably going. Esperanza is a very unique building, very cultural based, you know, very rich in culture. So it could be worth spending a little bit more money on an architect who has the history with the school. Because, you know, when you're building something as important as your facility, it can sometimes make sense to spend, you know, 20 or 30,000 more on an architect to make sure that you've got the right person to capture what it is you're looking for. So Ricky really could be a good hire. I'm not sure where Jeff Davis has ended up, but I probably would recommend Ricky over him anyway. So
there were two people at Nexus. What was the second name?
Jeff Davis.
And would he be a candidate wherever he now is?
He could be. I mean, it's all personal opinion. I think Ricky is a little bit easier to deal with as far as their ability to work with the contractor. I think Jeff was a little bit more contentious in the fact that he had a very specific idea usually that he always had in mind. I built a few schools with him. So I mean, as far as quality of work, I think Jeff is very good, but I, you know, we could certainly reach out to him. I'm not sure what firm he's with, but I could find out easily. So, and very good guy. I mean, it would probably be worth reaching out to him as well.
Okay.
So, and then as far as contractors go, there's two that I always prefer personally. One of them, Built Your School Stout, building contractors. They do a great job. Wonderful people. Very easy to work with. They know the history of your school. I think they'd be a very strong candidate. And then the other one that I really like, honestly, is, and they really only do charter schools, but One West. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them or not. They, Academica West, the management company, it's their development arm. But they do a very, very good job. They have great people involved in their building side, and, really good group to work with. So those are usually the two that I prefer on buildings. There's been a few others over the years.
When you say staff, yeah. Are folks who helped us with this building?
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. And so now that you've been in it for several years, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but you know, they're I've always enjoyed working with them, and you know, the schools that have been in for several years seem to still be enjoying their schools quite a bit. So But, you know, we can certainly bid all those things out as well and make sure that we're putting together a group that everyone on the board and the administration feels confident in and good about. But those are kind of the, you know, the first steps in all of that. I know that's a lot. I think for sure step one would be kind of teaming up with a financial advisor to figure out the feasibility of all of this. And that would probably take 2 or 3 weeks is all, is my hope. So it's something that could be done in between two board meetings. And then kind of a decision to move forward with an architect could go from there. As far as money goes that you guys would lay out, pretty much everything is reimbursable through your bond, but some things would need to be paid out before you got your bond finalized. The architect would be your biggest expense. There may be some surveys and things like that, some hiring of a few professionals. But again, as long as the bond closed, all of that could be reimbursed to the school. But I always let schools know that in the case that, you know, at any point you say, hey, we're not going to move forward with this or whatever the case is, then, you know, that would certainly just be cash that you would have going out that you wouldn't recuperate. So, and you could even put it on hold. I mean, if you, you know, if you paid an architect, say $100,000 and you started getting down the road and figured out you couldn't quite afford it now and you hit the pause button and then in 18 months you picked it back up, certainly you could still have the potential to recoup the initial $100,000, you know, once you closed on the bond too. There's a reimbursement requisition form that you kind of vote on and adopt as a board. And I believe that kind of has like a 2 or 3 year window for you to be able to get reimbursed on some costs. So we'd want to double check with, you know, an attorney on that, but I believe there's a pretty decent window on that. So,
just in terms of order of magnitude, what's the relative cost going to be of this new little building compared to our big existing building? In equivalent 2023 dollars.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, right? I think we built your school all in for, I'm going off of memory, but I want to say it was around 6.7 million, if I remember correctly, somewhere in that neighborhood. And, you know, you're probably twice as much now for per square foot cost, I would say, as we were back then or close to it. So I would plan on, you know, $220 to $250 a square foot right now to build. So it is expensive. At the same time, it just hasn't gone down for a few years. So, you know, I guess we always run the risk of building and then having a value go way down. But I kind of feel like the advice I usually give to schools is if you can afford it and it cash flows, you know, we would all love a crystal ball to be able to know when the cheapest time to build is, but it's hard. And at the same time, you know, fortunately we built at a really good time for the big building. So we're in it very well. Our debt to value ratio is really strong. So even possibly paying a little bit more for an expansion, I think we're still going to be sitting on the entire piece relatively well as far as what it values out at. So those are kind of things. Interest rates, as long as you qualified for, you know, the moral ob or something like that, I think your interest rates are still pretty good. You know, not what they were a few years ago, but pretty good. And, you know, you always have the chance to refinance down the road if interest rates drop again. But I think those are all things that we can talk to an FA about. And certainly their opinion would have a lot more weight than mine on those types of percentages and numbers and calculations. But to me, if it's something that you can afford, I always say go for it.
What do you expect our bond rate will be?
Sorry, go ahead.
And refresh my memory what it was on our earlier bond.
I don't know off the top of my head. It seems like it's kind of in the mid to high threes, if I remember right. But I would have to look at that. You're certainly going to be higher. Again, we can talk to an FA, but there's probably a, I would almost think, unless you can get the whole thing for cheaper or cash flow a little bit less, it might be worth not refunding your current bond, but just creating a second bond for the new building, so that you're not refinancing into a higher interest rate. That's probably something I would try to look at first, if it's a possibility. And then you just have your small piece with a little bit higher interest rate.
Anybody else?
So after the bond, then we go to the RFP for a contractor.
Yeah, so I would run an RFP for an architect, and then kind of what you call an RFQ for the contractor, which has always been, that's just fine as far as following procurement laws. So you would hire both right now. Again, this would be my recommendation. But then the contractor's already hired. So once the bond closes, you're kind of just ready to build. But we wouldn't be able to close the bond until we have a contractor hired. Part of our bond is going to be having a GMP contract, a gross maximum price contract in hand. Bondholders are going to want to see that we're borrowing enough money to be able to pay for the building. So whether we hire a contractor at the beginning of the process or later in the process, they'll certainly need to be hired before we can close on a bond, so that we can have everything bid out and everybody knows that we're borrowing enough money to pay for the project.
Okay. I would like to, just for the sake of time, propose that we have any more discussions that we have, we do as a subcommittee. And we think we need to have a subcommittee for building and infrastructure, but also for curriculum. And I don't know if it's something now. I mean, because we could keep going all night, and I think all of our new board members are probably thinking, what did I get myself into? but most of our meetings do not go this long on just one subject. But I think this is all relevant and items that we need to discuss here in the future. So I don't know if we want to go ahead and propose or see if there's any volunteers. Sounds like Marty needs to be the chair of the subcommittee.
I'm happy to be the chair of the committee.
Perfect.
That's when you can move on when the building.
Yeah.
Volunteer for the curriculum one.
You go, yeah, there you go. So what do we need to have with the curriculum? I think Juan, you should probably have some insight too.
For the dual language portion especially, I think I can help there. So I volunteer myself for the committee.
Anybody want to be part of the building, the infrastructure portion of it? Okay.
I work in financial services.
So I was going to say I work in procurements and logistics, so I'm more than happy to be part of it in contracting. So I think a strong group, at least with the in Elohio, I imagine you'll be at all of them. All right.
Have even bigger bags.
Yes, I'll be there.
Okay.
First, my name is your last name.
What you call it? You first are
one? RPA. Advertiser. Infrastructure operations. Business side, I guess. Anybody else want to volunteer for?
That's only three and two.
I've got four, including Elohio is a. Do we need to have, as far as curriculum goes? What about a curriculum subcommittee?
Juan said that he will be the chair.
Okay.
And Cody. Rosie.
No. I won't be the chair. I'll just be a member.
I think Cody wants to be.
I thought he was going to be Marty because he's asking a lot of questions.
Okay.
That's not for the curriculum. We're just talking about the curriculum itself. Anybody else?
For the curriculum, yes. For the I thought it was going to be just one committee, not two committees.
I don't even know how to spell curriculum.
Two.
I think they're going to be two.
Yeah, they're going to be so diverse. And the other one's going to need signatures and things to move quickly.
Okay.
If it's going to be the curriculum, yes, I can share it.
Even Marty, who and
So the curriculum is Juan, Cody, Sai, and Rosie. Okay.
And I'll be there too.
Is that just three of us?
There's four.
Yeah, four in each. Was the...
And she's going with you as well.
Marty, Angela, and Becky.
And Alohio.
I'll be at both.
And Alohio will be on both.
So is that clone one, yourself. Rosie and Alohio?
And Asai.
I think I'm going to get both vice principals to be on one on each so that there's still just to.
And Alohio, you could offer some recommendations on staff members.
I was just mentioning to her that the two vice principals, I think one on each committee.
That'd be nice.
Yvonne Medina will be on the curriculum and Omar Gosain on the building.
Okay. All right. So we can probably talk, Marty, you know, what works for you as far as scheduling goes. We can do that outside of it, but we'll at least form the two subcommittees and go forward. Is everybody okay with that? Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Jeff, for joining us. We'll be in touch shortly.
That sounds wonderful. I'm excited, and it'll be fun to see Marty. I haven't seen you for several years, Marty, so it'll be fun to get together.
Man, way younger and not half as ugly as I used to be.
Well, I never had much going for me, so we'll great team. But thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jeff.
Okay, let's go ahead and move on to we're going to switch things up a little more, and we're going to review and approve acceptance of the new board members.
So I'm thinking we normally do, we did teachers before, like anybody on special permit, we've done that, correct? We do that in August?
Yeah, we still have somebody on an LDA specific that we need.
We do have, okay.
Yeah, we have one.
So I'm figuring it's the same, where it's probably, we do it one at a time, don't we?
I'm not sure. The board members?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Does it matter?
I don't think it.
Because they each have different jobs.
Okay. So if they're, I would say any, you know, that sits in a position, you know, like a secretary or treasurer, or that would be the first role.
Officer.
An officer role. And then from there, a voting member or contributing member.
Sorry, I didn't get the question. Issue. What was the question?
I just didn't know if we needed to do them all at once or as a batch.
Or one at a time.
You can do one at a time and just and say what their name is and their role.
And who will be voting?
Yeah. So then, okay, I would propose that Alfredo Figueroa be accepted as a voting member of the Esperanza board.
Marty Banks seconds that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Welcome. All right.
All right. And then I propose that we accept Angela Urrea as a voting member of the Esperanza board.
I second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
You too. Aye.
Okay.
Anybody? So I propose that we accept Eli Esai Lara as a voting member of the Esperanza board.
I second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Are we getting?
Aye.
Okay. Yep. All right.
And tell me again what you go by.
Either one. Eli, if it's
you told us last time, like friends call you one and others call you the other.
Yeah, so whichever. I go by both.
No, now's the time to get it straight. What Eli, do you want to go by? Like? Okay.
Easier.
Eli, okay. All right, so the next one I would propose that we accept Don Faust as a voting member of the Esperanza board.
I second. Oh, anybody second the motion? Sorry.
Marty Banks seconds the motion.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
I also propose that we accept Rosie Ojeda as a committee member of the Esperanza board.
Aye.
Anybody want to second the motion?
Marty Banks seconds the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 And then I accept, or I propose that we accept Carmen Thompson as a committee member of the Esperanza Board.
Felicia, are you there? Doesn't look like she is. Felicia? Let me look and see.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, she's okay.
So Felicia, really quickly, just to follow up with you, you did or did not get a chance to meet with the board on August 29th?
No, I did not.
Okay, because you were out of town, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So if you would just stay for a couple of minutes afterwards, we could either do that or we could arrange a time to go ahead and do that.
Yeah,
and so that's kind of where great. You were still at a place where you were a potential board member, and then we just want to meet you and then we'll discuss at a closed meeting afterwards. And that's what we did exactly with all the others.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Is there time to clarify?
Sure.
So, okay. So letters that went out basically look like this. So when we talked, just to remind everybody, on the 29th, we looked through our candidates, we set three different preferential items. And one was a voting member of the Esperanza board. And so we sent invitations to those folks. And then we said that we wanted to also do a serve as a committee member of the Esperanza board, and that would be a different level, but they would not be required to vote. They would be able to participate in committees and come participate here for discussions, but we would not have to include them in the vote. And then the third one was just anybody that we did not want to recommend at this time, but we would invite to just serve and then reapply. And so as I looked at the different things that we talked about and tried to put them out here, this is basically what I sent to folks. Voting members' responsibilities. Basically, there is, from the State Charter Board, a member code of conduct policy that I'll hand out to everybody. And I would look more at this, but I kind of just summed it up. But it says major responsibilities, including attending board meetings regularly, and when possible, when not possible, provide your proxy vote to another trusted board member. We've done that in the past. It just says, please come prepared for scheduled please come to meetings, having studied, emailed agendas, documents, and minutes, so that you're prepared to discuss benefits, concerns, and offer solutions to problem-solving items. A reminder to keep confidentiality all matters that are pertaining to Esperanza, except for the fact that it's an open meeting. Please contribute fully and fully engage in board discussions. Understand that a board member, you should be able to provide clear rationale and decisions on voting items, and know when you're expected to be open, honest, and effective, because board member decisions are transparent to the public. And then I just said that the board is a public entity that serves the school and its community, constitutes and focuses solely on issues of governance. The other part, so if anybody that we had proposed to be a committee member, this is what their responsibilities would be. The committee member has a plethora of responsibilities that become driving forces for the voting school board. The State Charter Board trains Esperanza members to hold open dialogue, participate in effective and transparent decisions that affect the school, and to uphold the vision and mission of the school. Many times, items are researched, organized, and presented so that the voting board can make the best and most informed decisions. This year's committee members will help organize school policies, which we've needed for a while, investigate academic models and make recommendations for seventh grade, plan on future expansions, both for new grade levels and other sites, and begin the process to include a preschool as well as a long-awaited community center. So committee board members should plan on attending regular board meetings as well as setting aside time to gather information based on assignments. They would also report to the voting board. What did I say? They will work with an executive board member to accomplish their task. This position is a key part of creating and driving forth the vision and mission of Esperanza for years to come. So the main difference is the vote. And the other one is not background work, but actually active work that they would inform the voting board members of. So
I may need a refresher, but are you suggesting that we came to a considered decision about whether to invite Carmen Thompson to participate even as a committee member?
In my vote, well, in my notes, I had two as committee members, both Rosie and Carmen, and then the four voting members.
That got approval? That we voted on and approved?
Yeah, that's what I had.
Is that consistent with what did you recall?
Yeah.
Was anyone else at that discussion?
No, it was Juan.
Juan, you with us?
Yes, I'm here, but what's the question?
I'm trying to recall if we approved an affirmative vote to invite Carmen Thompson to serve as a committee member.
I don't recall that, but that could have been, I don't know. I don't recall that we invited her to be a committee member.
I know I did, but those were outside of it.
Committee, but which committee? I thought it was just board member, like one of the two types that Cody has described, voting and non-voting, and that's it.
Do we need to have an odd number or what are we determining with the board voting member? Will the odd or even?
We have that odd.
That was odd, but we've got an even.
We still have one more.
Okay.
And that's why.
Okay, but what if that changes?
Do we need to close afterwards anyway?
I think we need to close afterwards. I think for those that have been nominated to voting members, I think they're fine, but I think the committee members we need to review after we meet with Felicia, because those roles may change, because we need to have an odd number of people on the board, and right now as it stands we have an even. So
for voting purposes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
okay. Is that okay with you, Juan?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's go ahead and move on then to, do we need to actually, all those, we already got all those in favor, so we're good for that. Why don't we go ahead and now we'll review and approve the August 29th minutes. You guys should all have received a copy of them.
I have to go, but I'll join through Zoom.
Okay, thank you. I apologize that it's taken longer this evening.
No worries.
Thank you.
Do we want to go through?
Yeah, it was a couple of things that we did. We approved the minutes for the 10th. We talked about UPAC's membership, and in the end, we approved unanimously to discontinue membership with UPAC's. The other thing that we approved that month was special education policies and procedures language. We're trying to think anything else. Oh, other big thing, we had major changes in executive board members, and we voted that Becky was the chair, Juan was the vice chair, Treasure. Cody was the secretary and treasurer. We just put going to follow up with that one.
I don't think this requires a change to the minutes, but consistent with our bylaws, I think those positions are not executive board members, but officers under our bylaws, officers of the board.
Okay, so, thank you. All right. Does anybody have any changes or any questions that we need to amend or address? Okay, do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
Marty Banks moves to approve the minutes as reflected on the attachment to the agenda.
Okay, anyone second? All right,
Angela. All right. Yep. Angela, second motion to second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Minutes were approved unanimously. The next item we have up for review is the fifth grade maturation program.
We sent you a copy of the maturation program. I'll just briefly tell you what this is. In fifth grade, we are required to present the maturation program to our students. And it simply talks about the process that we use. Every parent has to sign a document that allows the student to be in the class. The parent has an option to come and be in the class. And we usually have two or three parents come to every class. And the rules require the board to see, to know the process and how it is done. And so that's why we brought it for your approval.
Does anybody have any questions or comments?
Is that the only, is that a revision to
maturation? No, it's just that you guys have
renewal.
Every year you guys have to take a look at it.
Yeah.
In case you want to make any changes. And really, in our school, we have no concern, no problems. We typically don't have any problems with what we do. But in other schools, this is a major issue. There's a lot of problems in the other schools. And so that's why the rules were made, so that the board has an option to change things every year.
So it says you can... There will be invited speakers. Do you invite nurses or?
We decided to use a district's curriculum that has been approved by the state. And we use Utah County because they have Spanish and English. We also have available Davis County. And we have like two or three that we have approval to use. And so either one of those we use.
But they're medical, because it says here they have to be medical.
Yes, we have a committee. It's the leadership team. We have three teachers. Some of the teachers are parents. Mr. Hyatt is a parent, and there was another one that was a parent. Victor. Victor Garay is a parent. So we have two parents, three teachers, all the administrators, special education, federal programs coordinator, and the nurse. The nurse looks at anything that we propose. And like I said, we use the districts. So that one is approved by the State Office of Education.
So it's pretty basic.
It's basic stuff. Like I said, we never have any parent complaints or concerns. They can come, they can sit in the class. We watch the video, answer kids' questions while they giggle, and that's about it.
And so, in as much as this is not, there are no modifications of this.
No.
We still need to reapprove it.
You have to approve every year because you have
a. Banks moves to approve the maturation program dated October 10, 2023, as attached to in tonight's agenda.
All right.
I'll second.
Hey, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you.
The next
one more question before we move on. Is it a mixed gender class, or do you separate?
We separate them. Okay. We separate them.
All right. The next item we have is to review and approve the LEA specific license for Francisco Ramirez.
I am so happy to report that we have only one teacher with an LEA specific license. And I mean, he's in every way qualified to teach. He actually is one of the ones that receives the state funding for one of the best teachers in the state every year for science. He is just working on a lot of classes at Weber State University because he wants to get his degree from the United States rather than having just the one from Mexico and teaching license. So it's taking him longer than he anticipated. But he's the only one that needs an LEA license. He's been with us, 8 years. That's all we need to do, just approve his LEA to extend it for two more years.
Again, what's LEA?
Local Education Agency.
Okay, thanks.
Marty Banks moves to approve the LEA specific license for Francisco Ramirez.
I second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. unanimously can go to a better person.
Yes, very great teacher. Yeah. The other thing that we need to approve, and you also do this every year, it's the Teacher and Student Success Act. This is a grant, and basically what this is funding that the state gives us to make sure that we continue to improve our academic performance. This year, we've decided to hire an interventionist for first grade, because first grade has been the lowest functioning grade in the school. So we hired a teacher that just retired. The kindergarten teacher that retired is back as an interventionist only for first grade students. So she will be working with about 18 students that we hope will take us to the next level, so that the Cadence test, and I'll show you in a minute what that looks like, we won't have any questions reaching the 60% improvement that the state requires. We haven't had it in the past, but that grade level, first grade, always holds us back. And so we hope that with this new funding, we can do that. We also set aside a little bit of funding for other grades. So we do testing every month, progress monitoring. And so if we see a class that is not doing well, we are going to hire an interventionist for that class. And so that's what we're using this funding for. And we, let's see what else, we used it, part of it, to hire an ESL specialist so that we can do some language development activities. Let me see. I think that was all the, oh, and of course, this is the money that we use for the parent training activities. We have a committee of five people, I believe it is. We have the program, the federal programs coordinator, the special ed teacher, one of the vice principals, Yvonne Medina, and two teachers who put the classes together. One was recommended or suggested by the board, that is the college and career readiness. And then the other one is required by the state, the mental health counseling for kids and parents to teach them how to handle mental situations. And so this is the grant that every year, again, you have to take a look and approve. And if you like any changes, we can do those as well.
Anyone have any questions?
Can you sum up for me really, really quick? I got the first one, missed the second.
My apologies. So we have the interventionist, you got that one. And then the ESL specialist or interventionist.
And then
the parent training committee. Parent. Yeah. And each of those members of the committee get $2,000 to put this big conferences together for parents. And then we set aside a little bit of money in case progress monitoring shows that one of the classes or grade levels is not functioning where we need it, so that we can help them speed up.
Thanks. I had a question on here in reading through this. So these are full-time interventionists?
They can be. Yeah, the teacher is a full-time hourly teacher.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyone else have any questions? Does anybody want a motion to approve?
I move that we approve this TSSA.
Mm-hmm. Marty Banks seconds that motion.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Approved unanimously. And that takes us to the director's report, executive director's report.
Okay. Let's see. Second. Can you all see the PowerPoint?
Yes.
Okay, let's take this out of the way. Yes.
The future's bright.
Yes. Okay, so the first thing I'd like to share with you is that we had a book giveaway sponsored by FinWise Bank. They paid for everything. They gave us two books for every student, and they loved going. Well, maybe Mr. Hyatt can tell us about the experience they had in the library picking up books.
Oh, yeah, they would be in there for like 30 minutes, 45 minutes at a time trying to decide which book. There was a lot to choose from. But each student received two free books they were able to take home as theirs.
Oh, awesome.
And so that helped encourage a lot more reading. Some students still keep them in their desk so they can read them. But,
and the teachers got how many books?
We got four for each additional classroom, four books that we have for our classroom library.
Who's the donor? Finn Bank.
It's a bank, and they choose two schools every year, and we were one of the chosen ones.
A local bank? State bank?
You know, I never heard of it before, FinWise. Mm-hmm. So we did have a big, huge thank you card. The kids signed and sent some pictures to them, but it was definitely, the kids really loved it.
Awesome.
This is what Mr. Hyatt just talked about. The library also received 12 books. So each kid received two, every teacher received four, and the library received 12 books.
Does the library have a wish list of books they would like if someone wanted to buy some?
You know, one of the good things about that happened during the pandemic is that all the money for professional development was allowed to be spent on books because we could go to professional development. And so we had, I believe it was right around $12,000 each year that we spent on books, to the point where we ran out of Spanish books. We couldn't find anymore. We bought books even from Mexico and Spain and all over the place because there was just not enough books. I will definitely ask the librarian to see if she has a wish list and then bring it back to you.
I'm curious, what percentage, what proportion of our books are English versus Spanish?
I don't know if
the librarian would know.
Yeah, the librarian would know, but I can tell you that during the pandemic, all the money was spent on Spanish books.
And a related question.
Yes.
Are the Spanish or the English books that what are the kids checking out?
Definitely a lot of Spanish books, and again we can ask the librarian, but especially the lower grades, they are encouraged to pick up the Spanish books. Another thing that I'd like to share with you is that the governor invited our mariachi to open up for Brad Paisley.
Wow.
And we showed up there, and we had a blast. The kids really, really enjoyed the presentation. The parents also enjoyed the presentation because they got all dressed up, and we went and joined the governor. The governor donated $5,000 to the school for the things that were stolen. And so, yes, so we had a blast, and a lot of the kids didn't know, and a lot of the parents didn't know who Brad Paisley was, but they got to meet him and take pictures of him and that kind of stuff. So we had a really good time.
He's not in the picture.
He's not in the picture.
No, he's not on there. Okay. He's not on there, but...
was he performing for the governor, or was this his concert?
He was performing for the governor. Okay. And our kids opened the concert for him.
Why does one perform for a governor?
It's the governor's gala.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Big fundraiser.
Yeah, big fundraiser. Yeah, yeah. And he announced that our kids had lost some of the instruments, and a lot of more people donated money to the school. So. And our enrollment.
I noticed that you put on the websites a link for donations, right?
Yes, we did, and it's on our website. Yeah, it's still there. The button.
I think that's great because sometimes people want to donate, and that never hurts. Thank you.
Yes, there are people still donating instruments. Some of them are not in good shape, I got to say, but it is the thought that counts. But we have gotten a couple of guitars and a few other instruments from people that are functional. So, yes. Our enrollment, as you saw on the financial report earlier, is very, very strong. It's staying right at 539. Please remember that our maximum is 525. So we are above it. And we're two students below the extreme maximum where we start being fined. At 541, then they start charging us money because we are above the 103% threshold. So we want to stay there.
Why does the enrollment start to drop in fourth grade?
Because we don't replace kids. In the early grades, we do replace. If one leaves, we bring them in. In fourth grade, we do not.
Because you're trying to stay below that.
Yes.
541.
That's correct. And because if we bring a child, if a fourth grader leaves and we bring another one in, typically they're not at the same level and they're going to struggle. Our wait list is still strong, over 100 kids on the wait list. And this is from a week or two ago. So we usually increase by about 4 or 5 kids a week. We were also told that you needed to know about our gifted and talented program. In our school, we call it the Principal's Club. And what they do is they meet on Fridays and they invite speakers to come and do projects with them. Sometimes they build rockets outside and shoot them up into the sky. They do a lot of science, or they call it STEAM programs. STEM, but we add the E. Yeah. Isn't it? No, the A. Sorry, the arts. We add the arts just because of our school emphasis. So we do that. And sometimes we take them to the museums. We take them on field trips. There's a play at the Hale Center, I think, that they invite us every year. And so the Principal's Club gets to do those kinds of things. We get a couple of $1,000 from the state to do special things for the kids that are above grade level, at or above grade level. This just came out today. This is brand new. It used to be called the school grade, if you remember. You're an A school, a B school, a C school. Now they just show how you are doing with achievement compared to other, or to yourself, pardon me. So in achievement, you're either developing, you are typical, or you're exemplary in achievement. We are developing, and you can see the percentages there. 30% proficient in English, which is the first time we reached 30%. Almost 39% is 38.6% in mathematics and 36.3% in science. If you look at the scores and then compare to the old grading, because they don't do the grading anymore, but some of us still like to do it. We're a B school. If you were to go in and look at all the point system, we would be. But please look at growth. This is where we are very strong in. We get kids, especially in kindergarten, that are scoring 2 or 3 points out of 100 on the test. And when they leave, they're at 82% proficiency. I think that this is just amazing. And as you can see, we're exemplary on that area. The English language learners catching up, we are typical, which is actually very good. Early literacy, the state requires 60% typical or better progress. And as you can see, we're at 62%. And now with the changes we're making in first grade, I believe we'll get close to 65 or 70%. That's the idea. Students ready on grade level reading, if they are ready to read in at grade level in third grade. This one is one that we've been increasing year by year. We used to be at the top 5% of the school systems. That's why they put us on remediation about 5 years ago, but we're out of that. We've been out for 2 years.
But we were the bottom 5% of the schools. Now we're in the top 50% of the schools. So we've been climbing that ladder. And Juan, thank you. Juan asked to bring this back, this report, where it shows where we have been and where we are today. And this is compared to the state. Please look carefully, because I mean, this is really, really exceptional. Our teachers have worked diligently to get out of the bottom. And you can see that the state, this we're talking about, we're comparing the Hispanic population in the state of Utah. Okay. This is where we were, and this is where we are today. And so I think the teachers have done an amazing job. This is in English. Now I want you to see what we've done in mathematics. This is where we are today. Yes. And look where we began. And in science, I want you to look at science as well. It's the same story. We have been doing better and better. Now, if you look at the, now this is, the, remember, this is the state system. Now look at the Spanish at the national level. Here's the different levels that you can be on. N1 is novice low, and it goes 2, 3, 4, and then it goes intermediate 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then advanced 1. For most kids, we should be right around the novice 4 if the kids are doing really well in elementary school. Okay, and you'll see the national average. The little dot is the national average. We're not talking about the state. This is the national average in Spanish. That's where the national average is, where the little dot is. And then the top of that little column is where Esperanza is.
Top of the purple column?
Yes, right here. Oh, well, you can't see it. You can't see my, I didn't bring my pointer. I apologize. Where, right where the arrow points to. That's where we are.
Are you sharing, are you showing something? Because we just see the picture.
Yeah, you're not sharing that one.
I'm not sharing that.
Well, it's still stuck on the picture.
Oh, this what happened?
Outside of the slideshow.
Okay, so we need to share again, maybe?
Missed all the highlights.
Yeah. Can you see it now? Juan?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, so that's, again, that's the national average where the dot is. And the top of that column is that where the arrow is, that's where Esperanza is. We're intermediate one for third graders. This is last year. Now, fourth grade struggled last year, but look at, oh, why isn't it moving? Oops, hold on. Okay. This is fourth grade. We're a little bit below the national average on one section, on presentational writing. We're right up above the national average on listening, and we're right below the national average. This is fourth grade only, but look at fifth. Oh, what is happening? It's a little slow. This is fifth grade. Again, we're above the national average. And this is the test that the state gives to the dual language immersion schools. So we're just doing what the state is doing. And the best one of all is in sixth grade. We are above the national average on all three tests. Yes. And then Juan also wanted to see the language allocation report. Every teacher submits this report and tells us what portion of the day they are teaching in Spanish and what portion of the day they're teaching in English. And once they submit it, then we have the three of us, the three administrators that go in and look at the to make sure that what they said, that's what was happening. If they're teaching in math, they say, we teach math in Spanish. We go and observe. Any questions?
So I see on sixth grade, it's pretty equal.
On what?
On the Spanish and English.
Oh yes, 50-50.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so is that where you want to be to get them to the next level?
Yes.
Junior high and above?
Fifth grade. It begins in fifth grade is where we go 50-50. You go 90-10, 80-20, 70-30, 60-40, 50-50.
So in this seventh grade we're proposing here, what's going to be the...
50-50.
50-50
it stays at 50-50 after fifth grade.
Okay. Could you go to the previous slide, Eulogio? Thank you. Just to take a quick look at this. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay, and then the last, we made a change to our board meetings on Tuesdays. And so I did the calendar. Did I send it to you? I did.
You sent it to me, and I've been looking and couldn't find it. It's the one thing I wanted to send out to them.
Okay. I can.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, this is on the drive. All of these things that you saw are on the drive.
Tuesday still gonna work well for everybody.
Yeah, I was telling Elogio, I am with my new role, I have to do audits, and so I'm traveling 1 week a month, which is just dandy, but. Half of those will be when we have committees or board meetings. However, I will be done by 4:30. So I just won't go to dinner with the auditors with my peers on a Tuesday night. That's we'll totally
put your
fine.
Face large on the screen.
And hey, when I'm in Oklahoma, I'll be able an hour ahead. So it'll make perfect. And that might be when we're in here, of course.
The end. Thank you.
Okay. Thank well, you. I think, is there anything else that we have?
Nothing other than nice job on your first
Yeah.
I was just going to ask, is there anything that anybody would like added to the agenda this next month? Because then it's already pretty
nice try.
That's
well, somebody might have things on the mind. Like, no, Vaughn had requested the.
I think we'll need to, for the next month, we'll need to put together the subcommittee charters.
Okay.
And what the charter documents will look like and what they're going to, what we should be doing.
Well, and the other thing is if we accept the 5,000, then we have to go back in and re-amend our financial policy so that it matches and then re-ratify it, right?
Yep.
Right. Just want to
yep.
make sure that's done. Back to mm-hmm. that.
Yep.
Okay. You can't get up. You're not going anywhere, Marty.
Oh yeah, you guys are staying.
We're having more board meeting after this.
You guys are staying.
Thanks, everybody.
Hey.
All right. I'll close.
No.
Nope. We'll go ahead and close the board meeting if Felicia can stay.
I don't have my cell phone.
Good night. Thank you, Rosie.
Nope.
Yes, you're a vote.
Oh, you're a voting member. You she's can stay a voting. If you want. Yeah.
We are leaving, right? So,
yeah.
Okay. Can you tell Alicia to come in and pick this up?
Eli is online and Felicia and Juan.
Okay.
So,
all right. Well, thank you. I'll disconnect.
Eli?
Okay. I'm taking my stuff.
I'm going to stop recording.
Wait, how am I taking my stuff?
Stop recording.
Are you going to have him on there?
We still need to have him online, but we don't need to record.
Take my packet.
Did you stop recording?
In fact,
and I think Eli jumped off.
Yes.
Oh, you know, dang it. Becky.